Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Amen. Donna, would you hit that? Glory. I tell you, God's a good God. Don't you love worshiping the Lord? You know, I told Brother Corey, I said, I could have done that all night. I know that's hard on him. It's easy on us. Amen. God is good. Glory. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here. Oh, glory. Praise the Lord. I'm glad Sister Charlene's here tonight. Hadn't saw her in a while, and I'm glad she's here. Always pray for you and your family, you and Rick, thinking about you all the time. You know, that's our number one job, you know, and our number one privilege is to be able to pray for each other. We have an audience with the King every time that we use the name of Jesus, and we can access promise and provision for our brothers and sisters. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I'll tell you what's on my heart tonight. Take this phrase home with you. The new and the few. God's always doing a new thing in the earth. But there's only a few. That's not God's will. It's not God's best. But there's only a few that come into it. And so you and I, we got to make up our mind that we're going to come in to the good things of God. Amen. No matter what comes against us. It's like tonight as we were worshiping the Lord. We worshiped Him until our worry fell. We loved on Him till the load disappeared. Amen? Oh, we just cared about Him, and then all of our concern and all of our caution just went under His feet. Oh, come on, our praise and our worship is our victory. Glory. Hallelujah. So you and I, we're in a new year, but not just a new year. We're in a new decade. And this 2020 on the Gregorian calendar, this 5780 on the Hebrew calendar, 80 meaning pa in the Hebrew, pay, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I don't think there's a right or wrong way, but it's a symbol of an open mouth. And so, for you and I to expand and to come in the plan and the promises of God this year, we're going to have to get alone with the Lord, and we're going to have to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us, and then we speak it out. You realize when you speak what God says, it's just as if God has said it Himself, because He is. You're His vessel, amen? And so we're going to look at some things tonight and try to get a vision in our heart for what God would have for us this coming year and this season that He wants to grow and expand things in your life and in the body of Christ. Amen? All right. So if you would, open up your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew, and let's start reading at verse number 13. Aren't you glad that you have kingdom authority? Come on now, kingdom authority. Because you're a part of the kingdom, because you're in the King, and He gave that authority to you, to me, amen? All right, but we got to recognize that there's some things that would try to keep us from coming into that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, when you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now mark that down in your heart. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be at which go in thereat. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, that Zoe kind of life that Brother Corey was talking about. Notice, and few there be that find it. And few there be that find it. Now, what's the hindrance? Verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. In other words, recognize where you're feeding from. Hallelujah. Be cautious, because you and I, we're going to enter into the straight gate, and there's going to be many things that would try to keep us from entering in, and it's going to be in words, because the word of Jesus is what causes you to go through that door we talked about this morning. Amen. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
great word of God coming through our heart, Lord, and becoming real and fire and passion and coming back to life, Lord. And let us choose life. Let us choose God. Lord.
Yes. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. So, this new season, this new year, the time of commanding. You know, you and I, we can let the enemy steal our day, or we can do what Scripture says, we can command our day. And it's not that we're doing stepping on God's toes. We're agreeing with the Lord, and we're walking with Him. Amen. We're taking authority over the enemy that wants to, as we looked at this morning, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil has an agenda and a plan to disrupt you moment by moment. And the Lord has a plan and agenda to bless you, to be a blessing moment by moment. Amen? And so we want to come into that place as we're starting this new year to recognize and realize I've got to look and see what God done in the past. I've got to see my struggles and my hardships that I dealt with, that I trusted and believed God, and I've got to let those things go. This is a new day. This is a new season. This is a new time. And I'm not going to let the limitations or the hurt of the past stop me. Amen? God's got great things in store, and I'm not going to look at what went wrong. I'm not going to question what could have been different. I'm just going to trust my God for right now. Amen? He is the God of the now. Now faith is. You've got the faith for now, the faith to bring the promise of heaven, the provision of the will of God into your life right now. And so, first of all, we need to see that it's about the new. It's about the new. Because in my life, the things that hinder me, that when I get weak in the spirit and yield to the flesh, is I start looking at the old. I start thinking about what happened. I try to evaluate and ask myself, why did that happen? And then I try to understand how that still affects me. Well, I need to look at myself the way that God does. You need to look at yourself the way the Lord looks at you. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. And through the blood of Jesus, there is no past. Amen? Through the blood of Jesus, there is righteousness. There is justification. It's just as if you and I never sinned. Amen? And so He wants us to do what Brother Corey was talking about, what he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He wants us to walk in the newness of life. And the only way I can walk in the newness of life, I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to help me to unload some things. Come on now, the enemy wants us to keep us so burdened down with all the things that went wrong, with all the limitations and the hindrances, that I can't enter in. Jesus said that everybody is right there. Come on, everybody has the same opportunity that you have, that I have. And we're either going to be in the place where we enter in, or we're going to be at the place where we're so crowded and gommed up that we can't move forward. Amen? Now notice what He said. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Let's talk about this straight gate just for a second. Now, just on the other side of that gate, as soon as you manage to make it through the gate of Jesus Christ, there is all of heaven and all the promises. Everything. Everything that Jesus died to give you, to give me, is right there. But you've got to go through that straight gate. Now, this straight gate, the word is steno in the Greek, but it's where we get our English word stenosis. Come on, we're very familiar with that. Narrowing of the arteries. Narrowing of the spine. You can look at it several different ways, but what he's saying is, to be able to go through that gate, it's kind of like the needle gate there at the temple. What did they have to do to get the camel through the needle gate? They had to unload everything off the camel. The camel would get down on its knees and come right through the gate. That's what you and I have got to do. We've got to unload all the tears, all the concern, the worry, the fear, the misunderstanding, the hurt, the unforgiveness. Unload all of those things and get down on our knees. And when we're at the knees, at the cross, that's when there's the fullness of being able to allow you and I to come into all the promise and the provision. But to do that, we've got to have our focus on letting loose of the old and seeing the new. So let's go to the Old Testament. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42 is dealing, Isaiah the prophet is prophesying about Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the office of Jesus. And so he prophesied this some 700 years before Jesus. And everything that he said, you and I, we can bank on. Amen? It's written there for us to be able to get a picture of what God wants us to have in Jesus. But look at where he's talking about what he had for Jesus to do. And we've got to believe this blessing. Verse number 6 in Isaiah 42. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Now, you've got to believe that when you accepted Jesus Christ, all those old things that were a part of your life, all of those things that were there, they need to be laid down at the foot of the cross. They need to be put under the blood of Jesus. Now, you and I today, we may have some areas in our life that we still need some help in. Now, what the greatest deception of the devil is he will, if he has to, he will allow us to come into salvation, but he wants us to be so miserable, he wants us to be so limited that we can't have a overcoming testimony. We can't have a Zoe, a God kind of life testimony. He wants us to be one of those Christians, well, I know that I'm going to go to heaven, but right now I'm miserable. And everybody around me, you might as well be miserable too, because if you stay around me... But we've got to see that God wants you to have the right things. What is His righteousness? Thank God that it means that sin is taken care of. But let's get into everyday life. Let's get into the moment right now. God wants your life to be in order right now. He wants you to have victory, peace, joy. He wants you to have the assurance that He's interested in every decision you make, from where you buy your groceries. Now, I heard a preacher the other day talking about, he said, he was talking against people like me and you. He said, if you're one of those kind of people that's got to pray before you get a parking place, you've got a problem. No, I don't have a problem. I've got a God who's interested in where I park. And He can give me a parking place. Now, that's scary and that's sad, because this man has a lot of audience and has a great influence. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not talking against anybody. I'm just saying, you and I, he said, notice where you're feeding from. Make sure that you understand that you can feed from some places that will hinder you, that will keep you from being able to enter in. So I want you to see tonight that God's wanting to set everything about your life in righteousness, right standing. And you qualify for this righteousness by the grace of God. Amen? Isn't that exciting? You don't have to drum it up. You don't have to do anything other than just believe that God is a good God. All right, now notice. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. This is what He done for Jesus. This is what He done through Jesus in our lives, better said. And will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. This is what God done. He gave us Jesus. And Jesus is that light, and He is that covenant. It's the covenant of the New Testament, and God will not break it. Everything that is in there for your betterment, my betterment. He said to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to see fully. Because there's some areas tonight that you and I may not understand. We may not have ever really allowed the light of the Lord to shine on it. Because remember what John said in John chapter 1? He said that men have a tendency, mankind has a tendency to love darkness. See, there's certain things in my life that I want to hide from God. I can't hide them from Him. But I don't want to deal with them at certain times. And so when I try to hide that, I'm actually saying, no, Lord, I'll take the light of the world over this instead of the light that You have. And I need to let go of those things. God's got something better for us. Tonight, you and I have got to lay down some things to be able to receive some things. Think about the time that you, and maybe you haven't ever done this, I have, that you held on to unforgiveness. And boy, that seemed like they don't deserve it. I'm going to hold on to it. But when you finally laid that down, when I laid that down, what did God have for me? He had perfect peace. But then he had forgiveness that I couldn't receive for myself. See, there's a divine exchange at the cross. And so we've got to lay down some things to come into this straight gate. We've got to see, though, that the thing that the devil means for harm, we'll look at just a moment, is really for your good if you're holding on to Jesus. Amen? There is a pressure and a purging that happens as you go through that straight gate. Now notice he said, verse number 8, I am the Lord, and that is my name. We need to recognize that you and I, we go under the authority, the kingdom name of Jesus Christ. I am the Lord. The Lord, His name means He is supreme. There is no situation in your life, there's no situation in my life that is not under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So maybe there's people that were believing for to come out of sin, to come out of bondage, to come out of deception. Guess what? All of those things that is attacking them and has a hold on them is under that name. The name of Jesus is above and greater than all those things. And so He is the Lord. He's the supreme in the realm of heaven, 1, 2, and 3, and all three earth ages. God knows all about it. Amen? All right. He said, I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory. And of course, Jesus is His glory. Will I not give to another? I won't give it to anybody else, neither my praise to graven images. See, we've got to recognize some of those things that we are studying in Sunday school class are becoming very evident in our lives that we didn't know was an issue. We didn't recognize that they were idols. They were false gods. And so God is showing us. He's bringing us to a place. See, you're fixing to expand. And what would take months, let me rephrase that, what would take years for you to walk in, you're going to walk in it in just a few days. But you've got to believe that, and you've got to receive it and say, that's mine, Lord. I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it into my life. Because we recognize and we realize that the time is, everybody that you talk to, everybody feels like there's never enough time. It's actually speeding up because God is winding some things up. And the closer that you get to the end, the faster things go. And so we're in this place, in this position, where we need to recognize what Jesus is doing and what He's wanting to do. But let's get into this. Verse number 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass. I want you tonight, right now, I want you to still your mind. And I ask the Father in the name of Jesus just to bring to your remembrance right now in Jesus' name something that God spoke to you that's come to pass. So you can count on what God has said. You can count on His Word. He said not one of His words would fall to the ground. But it would accomplish. Well, you and I, we, in this new year, this new season, this new decade, we need to learn how to speak His Word and know that it won't return unto Him void, but it will accomplish what He sent it unto. God is wanting to send some things into the earth, and He has to have a vessel to do it. Say, I'm the vessel. Hallelujah. Now, to be able to speak the new things, we've got to let go of some old. Now, me and you are just talking, and we're listening by the Spirit of God. And so, don't get aggravated at me. You just listen to the Spirit of God. Tonight, God wants to touch you, and He wants to bring you through this straight gate, and it'll be such a pressure that as you go through that straight gate, everything that is not of Him, everything that is not true, everything that is a lie, it's going to be revealed to you, and you're going to have an opportunity to say goodbye, or you're going to have an opportunity to hold on to it. We've got to let every bit of anger be given to Jesus. Yes, people have hurt us. People have said things. But let me tell you, as we hold on to that anger, as we remember the former things, guess what? We never move past that. We stay right there. And it's just as fresh as it was the moment it happened. Amen? So here he says, behold, the former things are come to pass, good and bad. Come on, every one of us in here, you've had good things happen. You've had bad things happen. You can't live by the past. You've got to live by this moment. He said, and new things do I declare. Tonight, the Spirit of God is wanting to take you and I into this new season, this new time of expansion by declaring. The word means manifesting. He wants to rehearse before your eyes some secret things. Secret. God's got, you believe God's got secret things? Come on, Matthew 13:44. God talks about, Jesus talks about, he said that the kingdom of God, that's what we're talking about tonight. The kingdom of God, it's like a treasure that's hid in a field. And when you find that treasure, you go and you sell everything that you've got and you buy that field. Tonight, we've got, in other words, we've got to be saying to ourselves, okay, I've tried all these other things. I've held on to the past. I've looked at it. I've evaluated it. I've allowed it to dominate and control, manipulate, bring action and reaction out of my life, but no more. I'm going to sell all of those things and because I want the kingdom. See, the kingdom is Jesus Christ. He's the king and his dominion. In other words, I recognize and realize that I'm outside of the kingdom. You realize you can be saved and on your way to heaven, but your finances can be outside the kingdom. Your marriage can be outside the kingdom. We've got to be so cautious and make sure that we've got things in the place of being in the authority of Jesus Christ. Everything that's not under the authority of Jesus Christ is under the authority of the devil. There's only two sources. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they sprang forth, I tell you of them. God's wanting to tell you some things ahead of time when they happen, where you go, oh my goodness. My God is so good. He's so amazing. He is an awesome God. He is the one that causes your mouth to spring forth with good things. He is the one that empowers you, enables you, emboldens you to testify about what God wants to do, not just in your life, but in everybody's life. Amen? Now jump over to the 43rd chapter. He gives us a second admonition. This here is where the Lord is talking to His church. Say, that's me. Verse number 18, Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now, if He gives us a command like this, then He gives us the anointing to bring the command past. Isn't that something? See, I've been told to do a lot of things by man, and sometimes I was successful, sometimes I failed, because sometimes I couldn't do it. But God never asked His children to do something that He doesn't give them the anointing and the ability to be able to bring it to pass. So here He tells me, He said, remember you not the former things. Tonight, don't you know and aren't you excited that you're going to leave this place and the thing that was a bother to you as you came through those doors will not affect you any longer?
Amen.
Come on now. You say, oh, that's a dream pipe, Greg. No, it's not. That's the Word of God. See, God changes us moment by moment. He gives us something new in our lives. As we talked about this morning, the Word of God is revelatory. Now, just think about it. As He talked to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, He talked to him on one level. But as He got to Genesis 24, all of a sudden, He's talking to him on a completely different level. He's no longer Abram. He's Abraham. Come on. You're not what you once was when you was a sinner, but you're not what you once was when you got saved. You are more expansion, amen? Greater things. He said, verse number 19, behold, in other words, are you willing to see tonight? I think you are. I think you're here by divine destiny. I think that you're here for a purpose that will propel you into this coming year with great anointing in your life to be able to do what you've never been able to do before. Because you're going to be willing to say what God says. Amen? Now, every one of you, you've been through great pressures. Why? Because the devil did not want you to enter in the straight gate. He didn't want you to be here in this place, in this position. This is a fundamental time in the body of Christ. This is a time that God is getting ready to pour out an anointing that will bring in the harvest like we've never seen before. And I know that there's many people that all they're talking about is God judging us and sending people to a place that we don't even want to talk about. Now, hell is real. It's real. Yes. And there is a judgment. But you and I, we're in the moment of grace. We need to talk about grace. We need to live by grace. And we need to take that grace, which the grace of God is that I can see that Jesus, He not only saved me, but He gave me the mercy to be able to live in this dispensation for Him in power. You're not weak. You realize the devil trembles when you hit your knees? You have power and authority. The devil, that name of Jesus that you operate and live by, he is more afraid of you than you have ever dreamed of. Because it's not you, but it's Jesus in you. Amen? You recognizing who you are. Now he said, behold, I will do a new thing someday. I'm ready, aren't you? Right now. Right now. I'm tired of hearing about someday. I want to hear about what God's wanting to do right now. You realize God can reach and touch that loved one that you and I are believing for right now? You realize He can make a provision for us right now? Brother James, He could put a $100 bill in your pocket right now. We don't have to question why. We don't have to wonder where. We just got to praise the one who gave it. Amen? That's our God. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Right now, as the devil has tried to convince us that we're in a wilderness situation. We're in a place, you know, some of you have been through some dry times, some hard times, some struggles, and a testing and a trying of your faith. But God said, in those places, I can make the water sprout up. I can meet the need. Let's think about it. As the Ethiopian heard about the message from Philip, he needed water. They're in a desert place. And at the right moment when he wants to be baptized, what happens? Do you think that was an accident? God knows where you're at. He knows where I'm at. I'm going to step into some water tonight. It's going to be troubled by the Holy Ghost. And since it's troubled, because the water inside of you, the water inside of me, it's troubled. It's flowing. Come on, out of your belly, out of my belly are flowing rivers of living water. It's inside of us. And when we step in that, that's an act of faith. And when you act on your faith, God always moves. Now, sometimes I've acted and I haven't been in faith. I can't twist God's arm. But I can get in the place where I'm honest with Him. I can be like the man who said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And guess what? He'll meet me right where I'm at. Amen? All right. I want you to look what God says about you. Drop down to verse 21. This people, God says, have I formed for myself. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, say it. I'm a creation of God. So every lie the devil has said about you that tried to paint a different image of you, a different picture of you, of who you are, who you really truly are, you cast it down in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because God doesn't make no junk. God doesn't make any mistakes. There's not one time that God ever said, uh-oh. We've got to believe that we're who God created us to be. You're a new creature, a new creation. Amen? Stop looking at the old. Look at the new. Look at the new. Okay, let's go back to our text. Let's see some things. Now, he said, Matthew 7:13, enter ye in, or enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to ruin, that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You've got to recognize and realize that in the name of Jesus, the devil is going to use individuals. He's going to use emotions. He's going to use even those who are blood kin, those who are heart kin, to try to influence you and I in the negative. And so we've got to recognize if this is a situation that is not lining up with the Word of God, that is not bringing you liberty and not causing the joy of the Spirit of God to come up inside of you, inside of me, we've got to recognize that it's something that's trying to keep me, trying to keep you from entering in. And so we've got to recognize those things. Now, see, every relationship that you have and I have, we create a soul tie. And in that soul tie, whether this relationship is emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's materialistic, whatever it might be, there is a soul tie there. And so we want to make sure that in our relationships that we're allowing God to show us what's ordained of Him and what's not. And we want to be able to, I want you to picture your life, see yourself in the Spirit, and I want you to see the Holy Spirit burning all the cords off your life, just as when the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson, he was tied, all of a sudden he was free. As long as he was in the covenant. Say, I'm in the covenant. So, in the Spirit, there's things like, it looks like a spider web. And as you pray for people and you pray about situations, you can see all of these attachments. You can see this spider web, and a person has got so many things attached to them from these relationships, and because these relationships are either still active or because they were hurt, they become an avenue of unforgiveness, and all of those things that we don't lay down and let go of, they're keeping us from going through the straight gate. They're there, and you and I, we're pulling, we're living, we're trying to do some things, and as we're believing God and we're confessing the Word of God, things don't happen as they should, and then the devil says, see, God doesn't love you like He loves other people. Or see, that word is not true. We've all heard it, we've all been there. So we've got to recognize and we've got to say, Lord, show me. You're doing a new thing in my life. Show me those illicit, those 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Planeo. Don't roam from truth, safety, and virtue. Do not be deceived. Evil, better translated, worthless. Communications, better translated, companionship. Worthless companionship corrupts good moral habits. And so, in my life, you can tell my wife, when we got saved and started going to church, I had to let go of some relationships because those relationships were keeping me from coming into the promises of God, the blessings of God, the plan of God. And so, the reason why we're talking about this tonight, I really don't know. I'm just saying what I feel, what I'm hearing in my ear. You've got to know that in the Spirit, these relationships are more real than in the natural. And so to enter into this straight gate, to come away from the broad way, we've got to let the Holy Spirit show us a new thing. We've got to allow Him to show us by the Word of God where we're at and where He wants us to go, and allow the Spirit of God to burn every evil soul tie, every stronghold in your life. It's got to be eliminated. See, because everywhere there's a soul tie that is illicit, that's evil, there's a spirit behind it. Let's think about this just for a second. Jesus said in John 6:63, He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. So there is power in words. And so Jesus said that His words, they had the Holy Ghost on them. All right. So let's look at the flip side, the negative side of this. If I say something that the enemy is saying, something the world is saying, do you realize the Antichrist spirit is working overtime right now in the world? And it's using the media. Turn the television off. I'm sorry. Don't listen. They're lying spirits. And you wouldn't believe, I talk to people, and when they start talking to you about certain things, their eyes glaze over. You know why? That Antichrist spirit has got into them. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're doing like what Jesus said, the blind's leading the blind, and they're both going to fall in the ditch. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit, they are life. So the devil's words have spirit on them. But he is, Hebrews 2:14, Satan is death. So his words bring death. So what I want to do, I want to let the Lord show me and do a new thing in my life. I want to allow all the former things to be cut off where I can enter into the straight gate. Where I can come into the place where he said I would find the true life. All right. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now notice verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Now this is where it gets exciting. We've dealt with these other things, and we know that God's going to show us some things, and we're going to leave here different. But now I want you to be excited, because you and I stand on the scripture that in Romans chapter 8, that God says whatever that is happening in our life, he can work it for what? Do we believe? He can work it for our good. Let me show you how. Some of you, you've been going through a lot of situations, a lot of struggle in different areas of your life. And those situations was because the devil hates you. And he had an open door and an avenue to work, but that's going to be shut tonight. But God's going to take and turn those things for good. Now notice what happens here. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Say narrow.
Narrow.
So you're coming into Jesus. Is John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. But he's the way. So narrow, as you come into this way, this word narrow, it's a Greek word that means to press grapes and to make juice. It means to press grapes to make juice. Narrow is the way. So all the things that the devil has brought in your life to hurt you and to harm you, is your life is so big, as you press through the gate of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden your life becomes a drink offering. Remember Jesus? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was pressed beyond measure, right? And out of his life poured blood. Right? He because he was under so much, it's actually a medical term, hematopoietosis or whatever it is, I don't know, off the top of my head. But he actually bled. He sweated great drops of blood. And his life was getting ready. He said that when he told us about communion, he said, this is my blood that is poured out for us. It's the new covenant. All right. So, see, everything Jesus went through was to cause his life to be poured out as a drink offering, as an oblation to God. Well, you and I tonight, everything that the devil has brought in our life to hurt us and to hinder us, all it can be when we go through the straight gate of Jesus Christ, it is just an avenue for to have a bigger drink offering to the Lord. That's a powerful statement. See, God can turn it. And he will turn it. Let's look. Go with me. I believe it's... let's look at a couple examples. I think it's Romans 15, maybe. Now, Paul here, he's talking about where he's fixing to go. And he knows his life is coming to an end. And he says in verse 25, he said, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. He's fulfilling exactly what God said he would do. He goes to Jerusalem, he goes on to Rome, but it says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contributions to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and they are debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them the carnal things. Now he goes on and he says in verse 29, he said, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ is Paul recognized that he's fixing to pour out of his life everything that he had. See, you and I, when the enemy pushes on your life, what enables to happen is what's in you can come out. And the Bible says, you know the scripture, we talk about it all the time, but we've got to live by it. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that what? Than in the world. So when the enemy presses on you, what's going to come out? That's right. The Lord's coming out of your life. And so Paul here, he says, get ready to see that when you're in a place like this, that you're going to minister, what did he say? The fullness of the blessing of the gospel. The fullness of the blessing. So you and I have got to be in the place where we know that God has great things to come out of our life if we'll allow them to. Now turn over to Philippians 2. Let's go ahead and take this just a step further. In Philippians chapter 2, for sake of time, he said, starting in verse 16, he said, I'm holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. If I be offered, this is that oblation. This is that drink offering. But Paul said, it doesn't matter to me. Remember, he said, I don't care if I live or I die. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know what's best. Because he said, I'm in a place where I know that if I live, that it's going to be gain for you. But if I die and go on, it's going to be gain for me. This is the Zoe kind of life that God wants you and I to have. Jesus said that if I would enter into that straight gate and I would come past all that broad way and I would allow that straight gate to purge and to prune me, and I allow the Holy Ghost to burn all of those things off of my life that's a hindrance, that when I went through that gate, that there would be an outflowing, there would be an oblation to God, there would be something that would be a sweet aroma to those who are there. How are the others going to enter in unless they smell the victory of God? Unless they see the sacrifice? Unless they see, they told me that God would turn things for good, and He done it. That's a witness. That's a testimony. And so here Paul is. He makes this statement. He said that if I be offered, if I'm poured out, that it's going to be okay. See, we got to be willing to tell God, God, I'll go where you'd have me to go. I'll do what you'd have me to do. Because it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Now, remember what Jesus said. He said that if we would enter into that straight gate, that we would be a part of those that would find life. Tonight, you're a part of the few that's going to find life. That Zoe kind of life, that peace in every situation of your life. That peace knowing that if God be for me, that's the truth, amen? That's not in there to fill up page, space. It's in there. It's the truth for you and I. So we've got to tell the devil. Now, there's some situations that the Spirit of God is going to bring to your mind, and you need to tell that Spirit that is working in your life, and in that situation, hey, greater is He that is in me. Amen? Amen? And you're fixing to, yes, ma'am. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, but with your tongue, my tongue, the new time of expansion, we speak the Word of God. And it causes the very work of the enemy to cease. You realize that the angels of God, you give them charge by speaking the Word of God, or you bind them. So we don't want to give charge to anything negative, amen? We want to speak out what God says. Real quick, in closing, turn over to the 4th chapter. This is the Zoe kind of life that Jesus said that you could have, that Paul was an example of when he poured his life out. For sake of time, just look in verse 9. He says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, what does that bring? That brings rejoicing. Look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, stay with me. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. This is the Zoe kind of life. This is for you. This is for me tonight. You see, this is an important word for me because I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I know where my struggles are. And I need to say, Lord, no matter what's happening, I know that you love me. I know that you have a plan for me of good. You have an expected end for me in every situation. And I'm not going to accept a substitute. I'm going to pour out my life, and I'm going to go through the straight gate in this area. And as I go through the straight gate, I have the assurance that you said I would find life. The Zoe kind of life. The abundant life. John 10:10. Remember, we looked at it this morning. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and... But Jesus said, I am come that ye might. Might. I might have it. I might have it. It's an option. It's my choice. I've got to what? I've got to receive it. And the way I receive it is I enter into this straight gate. Now notice one more verse. He said in verse number 12, he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I've learned. I've learned some things. We're going to learn some things. See, we can learn by experience and thank God for that, but I want to learn by the Spirit of God where I don't have to experience what the enemy has for me. I want to experience what God has for you. And he closes and says, I can do. You can do all things through Christ. He's your source of strength. Amen? He's your source of victory. So what we want to do is, in this new year, this new season, this season of expansion, this season of allowing the Word of God to get bigger and bigger in our lives, Brother, I put Luke 13:21. Here's the power of the Word of God. He said, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, in these verses, he's talking about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like. And he said, it is like leaven. You and I, we've got to keep taking the Word of God in our life, and it'll change everything about us. It'll expand in our life. It will expand your life. Amen? Now, look what he said, though, in verse 23. Then said one of the disciples unto him, Lord, are they few that be saved? Remember, there's few that enter therein, because this is the same parable. He just gives a little bit more wording to it. They want to know, after hearing Jesus teach that, are they few that be saved? Think about that question. You realize how special it is that you know the truth tonight. There was only 8 souls on the ark. There was only Lot and his 2 daughters that come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about it. There was only Gideon and Joshua that walked in the promised land. You know, that was above, that was of age. Few. But the new is for the few. Say, I qualify tonight. I qualify. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, I ask that you would touch every person. Lord, I don't know what all you're wanting to do, but I know that there's some areas in our life tonight that you want to allow you want us to come in agreement with you and allow the Holy Spirit, the anointing, to come upon us to burn those things that would be a limitation in our life and where we can see the positive part of this, that we're not giving up anything. We're gaining all things. Father, let every lie of the enemy be revealed, and everything that we might have our hand closed on, everything that we might have our heart wrapped around that is not of you, that is not genuine, that is not lasting, that is not eternal, Lord, help us to be able to give it to you. Let us come into this new place with you where we forget by a healing anointing that would touch our minds, that would touch our heart, and we're no longer going to look at that person and feel that pain, feel that hurt, feel that disappointment. That will no longer affect us because that's not who we are. We're new creatures, new creations. We have a new healing, a new purpose. And we're going to say what you would have us to say. And as we speak that word forth, it will bring life because the anointing of the Spirit of God will be upon it. Right now, touch and draw. Help us to come to that place and let us walk in this newness of life, a new place of victory. We ask you, believing that we receive in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight? Would you come and make yourself an altar and just steal your heart, steal your mind? Don't let this be just an ordinary altar service. Let it be a new start of a new year, of a new decade, of the last season of our lives in the will and the plan of the Lord. He's coming. But we're going to be in a place, in a position where we're distributing, we're exhibiting that Zoe, that God kind of life. Would you come tonight? Can I just be blunt with you? There's some hurt in some people's lives tonight that God wants to take away. He wants you to give it to Him. And if you'll give Him the hurt, He'll give you a healing. If you'll give Him the unforgiveness, He'll give you forgiveness that brings joy like you've never experienced before. See, behind everything that we don't give to God, there's a Spirit that's working, and it keeps us from entering in to that place, that promise. God's not a liar. Man is. Come on into it tonight, would you? Oh,